Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Keeping It Real podcast with Chris Norris. I'm excited to be joined today by Nick Tolino. Nick is a personal trainer with Tolino Training, and Nick started working with my wife at the beginning of 2020 to help her achieve her physical fitness goals. Then he took me on as a client shortly thereafter, but unfortunately we were making some pretty good gains until the shutdown took place due to the COVID-19 outbreak. Today I wanted to talk to Nick about a couple things. I really like fitness. I'm really into fitness. I'm really intrigued by it. So I had a couple questions about fitness for Nick, specifically how he advises his clients to best maintain their physical fitness while being stuck at home. I think it's important that we know some best practices and some guidance on doing that, because this could be the future. Gyms are hopefully going to reopen soon when we move into the green phase here in Erie County, but they might shut down again. Who knows? Just due to the uncertainty of the future with this coronavirus. So Nick talks about some of his at-home workout suggestions. Nick talks about what it's like being a father, a college student, and a business owner, and how he has really balanced things out in his personal life throughout this. Very relatable stuff Nick talks about. And Nick really just gives some great insight and advice on finding a good balance between staying in shape across the board, mentally, physically. And he just really brings great advice to this episode. I enjoyed my talk with him. I hope you will also enjoy our conversation today on Keeping It Real with Chris Norris, featuring our guest, Nick Tolino. Well, hey, everybody. I'm excited to be joined today by Nick Tolino. Nick is he is a certified ACSM personal trainer. He can be found quite often in the depths of the weight room at the Glenwood YMCA. That's where I first met Nick. He specializes in fat loss, muscle building, strength training, and rehabilitation therapy. And he is a soon to be, he did technically graduate, but he's a soon to be recipient of an Associate of Science degree in Physical Therapist Assistant. Quite an introduction, Nick. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I'm excited. It's the first time I've ever done any kind of podcast, so kind of new to me. Awesome.
Yeah. Cool, man. Well, when you're famous, you can say, I got my start on Chris Norris.
Yeah. It'll all boil down to you. If I'm famous, it's because of this podcast, so.
Oh, don't forget me, then.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I wanted to have Nick on the show because I'm always looking for guests, local guests here to Erie, Pennsylvania region, but also kind of stretching beyond that to talk specifically about the world we're living in right now with the coronavirus and how Nick in particular can speak into that from a physical fitness perspective. And actually the funny thing is I was standing next to Nick at the YMCA when Governor Tom Wolf of Pennsylvania announced that everything was going to be shutting down. I was next to you. I remember thinking, crap.
Yeah. Like,
we were in the middle. Nick works with me and does amazing things. He's taught me so much, even just in the short time I was working with him. And I remember we were together. We were doing a session, and that's when we found out the gyms were shutting down. That was devastating.
Yep. It was surreal. We were just like, this will be over. No big deal. And then here we are, what, 6-7 weeks later, podcasting. Yeah.
It's been rough. So, Nick, tell me a little bit about your background. Like, when did you get into physical fitness? How long have you been throwing iron around? Tell me a little bit about your life leading up to this point.
It kind of goes in waves. Like a lot of people, you kind of get into it, you get out of it. It started in high school. My first introduction into fitness was actually boxing. My dad was really into boxing. He hired me a coach, and I did that for maybe about 2 years throughout high school. From there, my life, after high school kind of took gravitated more toward the arts. So music, art, kind of got into that whole scene for a good 10, 12 years. But throughout that, especially with the music scene, it's not exactly conducive to a healthy lifestyle. So, you're playing late gigs, you're out drinking at bars, whatever. So I just got really out of shape and kind of gross. And then I had to do something about it. I think that was maybe around 2014, somewhere in there, 2010. Sorry. It was longer than that, but that's about when I really started taking things seriously, started picking up books. At one point, a friend of mine was actually in the process of becoming a trainer, he kind of just inspired me. You know, I saw him go from not knowing anything to knowing a lot of stuff. And he was like, hey, you should try this. I think you'd be a good fit. And, you know, from there, it really started getting serious. So probably within the last couple of years is when it really took off to getting serious. But like I said, you know, it goes up and down throughout your life a little bit. So I'm not one of those people that, you know, was born with like a six pack and I could, you know, dunk on kids in the middle school. Like I was not, you know, super athletic growing up or anything, but it was just kind of something that was fun for me. And then, you know, I ended up really liking it later in life. So.
Sure. So touch briefly on your involvement. We'll get to this later, but obviously your passion for music, what were you doing in the music scene before you got into physical fitness?
Mostly guitar playing. I had worked at World of Music right out of high school, actually. So part of my graduating high school was like, you had to do, I don't know how many hours, like a week's worth of hours, community service or something like that. And I had done mine at World of Music. And they're like, hey, you've done a great job here. And then they offered me a job right outside of high school. And I was there for about 10 years. So that really kept me like rooted into the music scene. I met a ton of musicians. A lot of my best friends I met through the music scene. So, but yeah, it was really cool. But mostly playing guitar. That's my main instrument. I dabble on drums. I'm terrible at singing, but I still do it anyways. So, but yeah, you know, just a little bit here and there. You kind of pick up things as you go.
Sure. That's awesome. That's good. It's definitely, you can't go wrong. I mean, music is so applicable across any passion or any profession. You know, everyone that has music in their life, certainly it's a great thing. So that's pretty cool that you have a multi-talented individual. Yep. I think the first time I, you know, met you or saw you, obviously at the Glenwood YMCA here in Erie, Pennsylvania, and you always had a different, you were always working with somebody different because I was trying to gauge who your clientele was. So
yeah,
talk about the evolution of kind of becoming a trainer and how your clients have changed since you started doing this.
Okay. Well, you know, it's really tough to really pin it on anything. When you first start out as a trainer, you know, a lot of people have this idea going into it, like, oh, I only am going to train athletes and I'm only going to train, you know, with college teams and the NFL or whatever. And it's just so not like that. Basically, when you start out, you're just grabbing at anybody who will hire you. So really, I just kind of started out with, you know, whoever trusted my ability to help them see their goal. So it really, really ranged. But it has evolved a little bit as I become a little bit more experienced and kind of gained some traction and things like that and some notoriety. I think some people kind of seek me out that are a little bit more specific with their goals. So whether it's somebody who, you know, has been lifting for a long time and they want to kind of take it to the next level, or whether it's somebody who has, you know, a rotator cuff tear and they want to, you know, rehab it as well as get stronger. So it's become a little bit more specific because people kind of know what I'm good at now. But, you know, still to an extent, I kind of just take on whoever really needs it. I'd say the majority of my clients, though, are probably fat loss, though. Fat loss and muscle building, you know, just to kind of, I guess, overview it all. But, you know, it is a little bit more specific now than when I had started.
Gotcha. So, I mean, I could probably talk all day to you about physical fitness and the kind of programs you write. But I really wanted to focus today on kind of the pandemic that we're hopefully on the tail end of here and how that has changed the way physical fitness professionals across the country have had to kind of pivot. And I saw you do this as well, because like I said earlier, we had just started working together. I was excited to dive into the program you had written for me. I was learning a ton from you. And then obviously we were forced to stay home. So you immediately within, you know, a couple of weeks reached out and said, hey, you know, you're not off the hook. We can still keep in shape and try to stay active. And one thing I thought was cool about what you did was you asked like what I had laying around my house that I could use, like customized my program. So, and of course I had some random things, you know, laying around, but talk about when you realized this was going to be a long-term thing, why did you choose to kind of be proactive instead of saying, well, there's no gym, there's no working out, there's no need for me to worry about my clients? Like, talk about that process. Cause I'm sure some gyms and some physical fitness people, they just filed for unemployment or filed for any of their government assistance and said, I guess we'll just wait this out. Why was your thinking a little bit different?
Well, I mean, the biggest reason is because obviously I want to be successful as a trainer. And this kind of sounds like cheesy and cliche, but like my client's success is my success. So if you see your goals, obviously you've won, but I've also won when my clients see their goals. So if they've been working with me for a month and they've got some good traction going and then we just stop, that kind of looks bad on me. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'd like for everybody to see their goals. So I didn't want to just, you know, kind of lay down and let, you know, this whole thing kind of take its course. I was kind of feeling it out for the first couple of weeks. You know, we had even talked about, hey, maybe you can come over, cause I got a small home gym set up with some barbells and stuff. And, I had kind of contemplated that for a little bit, but I just kind of thought that might be the more irresponsible to do on a business standpoint. So kind of leaned against that. And then over 2-3 weeks, it's like, I got to do something about this. You know, we got to keep people in shape. And there's plenty of studies out there that will support that. You don't necessarily need to, you know, lift 500 pounds to keep your 500 pound deadlift. There's a lot you can do to still challenge those muscles. You just have to do it way differently. So, the science supports you can go after it. You don't have to lose traction. You can still make progress or maintain progress. So that kind of just led me to, okay, well, let's do something about this. Let's make sure that my clients stay healthy, stay active, and, you know, continue to see their progress. So
I love it. I think it's great. Proactive was awesome. I didn't really have to reach out to you. You reached out to me and your clients. How was that received? Did you get any, you know, what were folks, I mean, what were they saying? Yeah. Like, Nick, you're crazy? Or what did they say, some of your clients?
No, I mean, I think a couple of them are always kind of happy, you know. There's kind of like two categories. There's the people that hire me because they're like super excited. They really want to take their training to the next level. And then there's the people that hire me because, they need someone to be accountable to. So the camp that doesn't necessarily enjoy going to the gym, the camp that's like, hey, I need somebody that makes me get there. So that camp was probably, you know, kind of a breath of relief to be like, oh, I got a week off from Nick's, you know, torture and cracking the whip. So, you know, it was kind of mixed, but I think overall everybody was still happy because they saw the light at the end of the tunnel, that they didn't have to give up on their goals. Yeah, it's kind of a bummer sometimes they don't, you know, get off the hook, but at the same time, they're happy that there's still an opportunity to, you know, continue to see progress. So overall, good response. I think a lot of people though, just don't enjoy working out at home. And myself included, I put a lot of time into my home gym. You know, the first couple of weeks I got real crafty with it at Home Depot and whatever. And it was cool, but I just think there's something about the gym atmosphere that really makes people want to, you know, dig their claws in and have a good workout. So that I think is a hurdle that's new to me and my clients. You know, it's something that they're just not used to. They're used to showing up at the gym and like, all right, I set an hour aside, let's do this. Now they kind of loaf around their house and, you know what I mean, try to fit in some exercises. So it's kind of a different level of motivation required to finish their workout or push themselves through their workout when they're at home, as opposed to being at the gym. So
yeah,
it's kind of all over the place, really.
Yeah. You're spot on with that, because like when my son was first born, working out at home was essentially the only option I had. And I would just do it because it was the only option I had. And it was hard back then. And now with this new phase of being stuck at home, it continues to be a struggle, but for a different reason now. I think it's because there's so many distractions here. You know, I always, like, one thing that drives me nuts is when I'm working out and I can hear like my son playing with his cars upstairs. Like, it's gut-wrenching because it's like, I should probably be up there playing with him, but I know that I'm not going to be my best self unless I I get this in for 30, 45 minutes, whatever it is. Yep. But it's hard. It really is hard to work out. I think you're right. When you go to the gym, that is your dedicated time. You, whether you drop the kid off at the childcare center or whatever, you know that you have 1 hour to make the best of it. Whereas you're at home, it's tough to delegate.
Yeah. Yeah. Staying focused, like you said, is definitely something I know, because I'll be upstairs and that's also where I have, you know, my music equipment. You know, my kid will pop in and we'll start dancing to whatever song's playing. So, something that normally takes me an hour, you know, hour and a half tops, turns into a 2-3 hour thing because I'm multitasking. So, you know, there's definitely a different level of mental strength to stay focused and to push yourself in that kind of atmosphere for sure.
Yeah, so definitely.
In some ways, I think that, the gym has almost been like a crutch for us. You know, it's almost made us like mentally weak in that kind of standpoint. It's something that we just kind of take for granted. We got all the machines. We can be essentially as lazy as possible about getting in shape. Whereas when we're at home and we got to do 2 minutes of air squats, that's like, you know, to get sufficient, you know, stress on your legs compared to, you know, maybe 10 reps with some decent weight on your back. It's a different mentality that, that kind of hits you and different kind of, I guess, drive needed to really push you through that. So it's an interesting challenge for sure.
Oh yeah. And I think with working out at home, you're under a time crunch. You know, for me, I don't get an hour. I get 30 to 45 minutes if I'm lucky. So maybe I'm taking shorter rests or doing a high intensity interval or something like that. That's just like, get the most bang for your buck, because you never know when you're going to have to drop everything, go upstairs and, you know, clean up spilled milk or whatever, you know, speaking of experience.
Yeah.
So yeah, I noticed you, some of the videos you post on your Instagram sort of have been great with having your daughter involved with some of your workouts has made it fun. I love it. Cause I think it's also good because your kids are watching. Our kids are watching how we respond to all this pandemic. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's the only one they live through. Hopefully the only one we live through, but it's also important for them to see like how my dad like sorted through all this and for them to see us working out at home with a makeshift gym, I think is important. As being a dad yourself, how speak into that a little bit, what it's like to work out and to show your child that, hey, listen, I'm still valuing myself and my physical well-being through this.
Yeah. So to be completely honest, I haven't been the best at it. I started out really good, just kind of, I think I was just running off the motivation that I had left, you know, the gym atmosphere with, you know, you're kind of just in a good groove and you kind of just sort of continue that. I'd say for maybe the first couple of weeks of shutdown, I was doing pretty good. And it's obviously something important and you want to show your kids that. But, you know, like you and everybody else, we're always kind of juggling life's other responsibilities. So personally for me, you know, I had a lot of school stuff. I decided to do the volunteer stuff with Erie Arts and Culture. So I think it's very important to showcase your dedication to your health and your body, but I think it's also okay to show kids that, hey, sometimes you need to prioritize other things in life, whether it be your finances, your career, volunteer work, your clients, whatever else. You know, it's okay if you drop the ball for a couple weeks with your workouts. It's not the end of the world. I think what's important though is to show them that it's not okay to totally give up. So, that would send the wrong message. You know what I mean? So if you got to take a step back and maybe you're only going for walks, you know, 2 or 3 times a week, that's better than, you know, sitting on the couch and giving up and, you know, that defeatist mentality. So, it really just kind of fluctuates. I think you really have to keep it in perspective, especially now, because, mentally it's a whole game too. You know what I mean? It's tough sitting at home all day. So you kind of need to be good to yourself in that aspect. So it's definitely multifaceted. You kind of have to approach it with a healthy balance in mind, I think.
Oh, that's a good word. Cause I think even myself, I'm guilty of this. I'm too hard on myself. I'm like, well, geez, you know, Nick wrote out 3 days for me. I got to work out 3 days minimum, you know, but you're right. Like life happens and this is hopefully just a short season. And then 6 months from now, when we're back in the gym, you know, making gains, that we'll be like, yeah, I can't believe I was so mad at myself for not getting 3 home workouts in a day, you know,
right.
Spending more time with my kids or doing some volunteer work or even just relaxing a little bit during all this, is super important. So I think you're spot on with that perspective. You had mentioned the Erie Arts and Culture piece. I wanted to touch on that real quick because I think that's really cool. It's a great local connection here in the Erie region. Talk about what you did with the Erie Arts and Culture. And it makes sense now that you touched on your passion for music. Mm-hmm. How did you partner with them and what went into that idea?
Well, a couple things. It's kind of obviously I wanted to keep the, you know, money kind of going. I wanted to keep my clients, you know, kind of keep their progress on track. And I was sort of just tired of seeing every trainer I know that I'm friends with doing glute bridges on their couch. I was like, I can't watch another video where somebody's just doing these arbitrary exercises that may or may not apply to the individual. So a big thing that drives me as a trainer is the individualized approach. You know, it's got to fit the person. You know, you can do a million exercises that are, you know, great for one person, but terrible for you. So I wanted to make sure that it stayed as an individual approach. I wanted to not be the run-of-the-mill person, you know, doing glute bridges on my couch and trying to lift the corner of my bed for deadlifts. So that was one thing. The other thing was actually I was inspired by a trainer that I really look up to. He's on YouTube and Instagram. His name's Jeff Nippard, and he's got great, great content. And he had asked his audience, he polled his audience, hey, should I put up like a coronavirus recommended workout? And they voted yes, but his, I guess, moral conundrum was that he didn't want to profit off of it. And I thought that was super cool. He's like, all right, well, I'll run ads. All the proceeds will go to this charity. And I was like, that's such a cool thing to do. So I kind of took some of those ideas. I was like, this would be awesome to do for charity, help out my local community, keep, you know, my clientele base and potential clientele base, you know, keep that momentum going and gain exposure in the process. It was just kind of win-win. Obviously I know, you know, tons of musicians from working in the music field for 10 years. So helping them out was just such a bonus. Like it just kind of came together. I kind of just started researching stuff, kind of sat on the idea for a while, and all these forces just kind of fit together. And I was like, this is perfect. So, and it worked out really good. I got a lot of good feedback and we ended up raising a good amount of money for people to, you know, that need it.
That was a great, great cause. And the logistics of it, if anyone hadn't heard about it, or maybe folks that would still be interested in it, was basically Nick partnered with Erie Arts and Culture, and you could pay Nick to customize a at-home workout for you. And yes, a proceed of the cost for that customized workout went to the Erie Arts and Culture, which was great. And my wife and I jumped all over it because, yeah, number one, we want to support you and the Erie Arts and Culture. And I can honestly say that the workouts were not like, you know, a canned, you know, this is what I give everybody and call it customized. They truly were. I can remember texting you pictures of the dumbbells I had laying around and the plates I had. So it really is a customized workout. It's been huge for my wife and I because there is a lot of noise in the fitness space right now. There's a lot of people telling you, here's what you should be doing. You should be, you know, either doing HIIT workouts. Oh, use this time to go jog. Oh, you can pick up your couch and call it a deadlift. You're right. There's a ton of noise. So right. To have somebody that we trust actually write up like a customized workout plan to help at least keep us on track was huge. So I would recommend, obviously, and endorse that for you, mm-hmm. Nick. I think it was such a cool cause. And I think the partnership between you and the Erie Arts and Culture was perfect. And I hope that both mutually benefited from it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we did. Yeah. I think it was pretty successful. It was a little bit more work than I anticipated. but once I kind of got, you know, things rolling, it was pretty smooth. So
good.
But yeah, it was great.
I'm glad to hear that. So let me talk to you real quick, kind of as we head down the home stretch here. What I want to talk about the future of the gym, because you know, people are maybe just starting to get used to like working out at home and understanding what they can and can't do with what they have or don't have. I know for me, like now I've got kind of a routine and a rhythm, reasonable expectations about what I can accomplish in 30 to 45 minutes. But what do you think if we're looking at, you know, the next couple months, and I'm not asking for a, well, here's when gyms are going to reopen. Like none of us know that, but how do you think this whole, shutdown, this pandemic, how do you think this is going to change, you know, the fitness industry that you are a part of? What's going to be different moving forward?
Well, I think the biggest thing is we just have to be, hopefully we can all approach this collectively responsibly. You know what I mean? We can go to the gym, maintain the precautions set, you know, to make sure this doesn't get worse. I think there's going to be a good deal of people that are just hasty, or, you know, your non-believer crowd that just go to the gym and like, oh, screw it, it's fake. And they're just, you know, they're not worried about wiping down equipment or wearing a mask, if that's what, you know, safety entails. But that could clash, and that could definitely backlash. So my hope for reopening of gyms and the future of gyms is that we ease back into it cautiously and safely with, you know, a good deal of mutual respect for each other and the gym. So that way in a couple months we can have a back to normal type gym. So I really couldn't say what it's going to look like, how it's all going to progress, but, you know, hopefully it's done in a responsible manner so we can enjoy the gym again.
Yeah. I'm sure you've seen some precautionary things, some mitigation, you know, of like, you know, making sure that we sort of are able to still practice social distancing in a gym environment. I looked on your page, your Facebook page recently, and I saw that you had posted something from a gym, and you kind of commented and said it looked like a scene from the Black Mirror or whatever.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they were like glass panels between all of the ellipticals and the treadmill. Yeah. It's weird, but do you see that being something that could potentially play into like being responsible and just taking every precautionary measure?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I mean, to be honest, I don't think like a 5-foot plastic divider is going to do a whole lot, but you know, if that's what it takes, I'm okay with it. The weird thing is though, like when I posted that, some people had commented like, I'm okay with this, you know, coronavirus aside, I don't necessarily want to see the dude sweating right next to me, you know, trying to run a marathon. Like they kind of like that, I guess closure, that enclosed space or whatever, privacy. Yeah. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. You know, is it overkill? I don't know. That's probably for the health professionals to decide, but, you know, it may go to that measure. It may not. I'm sure it's just going to be an individual gym basis. You know, I know the smaller gyms that are local probably can't afford to do something like that.
Right.
So they might just have to say, hey, wear a mask, wipe everything down, and just really clamp down on individual responsibility rather than, you know, putting all these preventative barriers and things like that in place, which I imagine is costly.
Sure. Sure. Well, I think you're right too. If we want the gyms to reopen and stay open, we're just all going to have to practice best practices when, you know, wiping down your machines, you know, not if you don't feel well, if you're coughing. And we've all been to the gym where someone's coughing and sneezing in the corner and you're like, dude, you shouldn't be here, man. You're not well.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, it's just going to be a concerted effort between everybody if we want to go back to life as, you know, quote unquote normal in the gyms. We're just all going to have to approach it a little differently maybe than we did before with, you know, if I was sick the week before, maybe I do have to wear gloves just because I don't want to get anyone else sick. And those are minor inconveniences probably that to me are worth it just so that I can get back there.
Yeah. Yeah. And hopefully people take that same mindset, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't think we're ever really going to go back to things as they were, but maybe minor inconveniences initially. So, yeah.
Really, and I'm okay with that, honestly, because the gym is, as we all know, is kind of a cesspool for germs anyways. You know what I mean? Come around New Year's when that initial burst comes, everybody's getting sick. And, you know, it's like, well, everybody's at the gym, everybody's sneezing and sweating. So, you know, it could be overall a good thing. So,
yeah, I think all of this could be, you know, it's a whole nother conversation, but all of this in some regards, outside of the tragedy of how many lives this disease has taken, a lot of this could have some benefits and rethink, make people, including yourself as a business owner and me included, rethink how, what we define as normal moving forward. You know, if some people maybe have never given online training or any type of web presence a thought because all their clients just meet them at the gym and write them a check. But now it's like, hey, I've got to figure out how I can pivot. And as an online, as a trainer, and how does that look like online? Like, do I need a YouTube channel? Do I need to start offering some online courses? And and you pivoted in your way of saying, hey, let's do some at home workouts and send me your equipment and I'll send you what you can do. And so I think it's going to be good for a lot of people. Maybe like you said, even just down to the spreading of germs. It's not.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And even just from a business standpoint, like as you had touched on, I think it's always good. And I'm not great at this because I kind of have my, I guess I'm just comfortable with working with people at the gym. But, you know, from a business standpoint, it has kind of pushed me more into an online presence. You know, I'm a little bit more diversified, I guess you could say. Now I have a little bit more content, you know, with my Facebook, which has been kind of, you know, dead and bleak prior to this. Mm-hmm. So, overall, it could just be a good thing, you know, for trainers or anybody that's like, you know, a gym enthusiast that kind of has an audience, just to kind of spread out a little bit and get creative with what you can do. I don't think that's ever a bad idea. So.
Not at all. Yeah. I think it's definitely a good thing. And, especially if someone that's fairly new at the whole business world myself, it's been probably a good experience for me to go through this now, as opposed to someone that's been doing this 20, 30 years, that's like really set in their ways and never prepared for something like this. Right. Pretty sure if you can make it through this, we'll be set up for the future.
Whatever
the world brings at us. Let me ask you one more question, Nick. I was just curious as to, for the people that, you know, maybe haven't worked with you or are, you know, using the excuse that the gym is shut down, I don't care about staying in shape. What advice are you offering to people that are like, well, Nick, how do I stay in shape while the gym is closed? I can't do it.
Okay. Do anything, do something, do anything. The biggest thing that's going to really affect you is just going totally sedentary and giving up. I had started reading through a couple research studies, but to effectively maintain muscle mass is such a small percentage of what you're used to working at. I think it's like one seventh of the stress to the muscles to maintain. So if you're doing that, if you're just doing very minimal body weight exercises at home, you're going to maintain. It's tough. And like we had touched on a little bit before, you know, be kind to yourself. It's not the end of the world. If you miss a workout, you can still at least maintain if you're doing something. There's plenty of options to get creative with home equipment. I mean, we had talked about chairs, you know, you can use all sorts of stuff. There's a million ideas on YouTube right now. So the ideas and the equipment isn't necessarily limited. Really what it comes down to is just the mindset of doing it. You just have to do it. So if you're not, that's okay. But giving up totally is going to backtrack you a little bit. If you're doing something, even if it's less, you're going to be okay. So I think once you understand that, once that becomes like a fact and solid in your mind, then you're more likely to keep with it. So I think a lot of people aren't doing it because they think, well, you know, if I can't deadlift with a barbell and, you know, X amount of weight, then it's pointless. But that's not the case. So you just have to get creative. You got to make sure that you're, you know, especially if you don't have equipment, you got to make sure that you're doing high repetitions. You got to make sure that you're working those muscles a little closer to muscle failure. You just got to keep doing it. If you really want to like kind of pinpoint those areas, you got to work a little harder, to be honest.
Sure. Yeah. When you provided us a home workout and I was like, how is this going to be challenging? Honestly, like, how is this really going to push me? I spoke too soon. You know, the kettlebell goblet squats with the 5 second pauses, those are brutal. And so I can appreciate what you're saying, because it you can get creative and still be challenged at the same time. So don't be discouraged. You know, like you said earlier, we become so used to just the machines at the gym and loading them up with what we need and going at it. And then we don't have that kind of structure. You're like, well, what's the point? But don't sleep on home workouts and don't sleep on staying in shape. And Nick is definitely somebody that can help you do that. Nick, what for someone that might listen to this and say, hey, I'm on board, I want to get in shape, what's the best way for them to kind of learn more about you and maybe even get in touch with you?
Instagram, Facebook, those are probably going to be the best outlets to get a hold of me. So my Instagram is just Nick_Tolino_. And my Facebook is Tolino Training, or you can just search my name, Nick Tolino, and add me personally. So I'd be happy to write any kind of programs or address any questions people have.
Awesome. Yes, I will put all those links in the notes to this episode, and highly recommend Nick. He's helped myself and my wife out with some of our fitness goals, and Nick and I were just getting started. So hopefully once this is over, or at least in some type of remission, I can get back in the gym and have you torture me again. So thanks for your time, man. I appreciate your perspective. I could talk about physical fitness all day. I really am very intrigued by the work you do. And thanks for your perspective on all this. And stay safe, stay healthy, and good luck with getting that degree, man. I'm excited for you.
Yeah, I'm so close. Appreciate it, Chris.
Friends, thanks so much for listening to today's episode of Keeping It Real with Chris Norris. Make sure you check the show notes for all of the relevant links. And don't forget, this is a production of Revox Social. We are a social media management and consulting agency helping businesses expand their reach online and successfully connect with their customers through the use of social media. We also can help with podcasting production, television video production, basically any type of content or any type of way we can help you share your story online. We are here to help. Reach out to us at revoxsocial.com. Looking forward to another episode. Stay tuned for more. Thanks again for listening.